Welcome to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Please join us today as Pastor Jeffrey Campbell leads us in an in-depth study of the Sermon on the Mount. Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26, and the sermon is entitled, The Last Penny.
Grab your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter number 5 tonight. We're going to continue on in the Sermon on the Series study that we've been doing together. Hopefully it's challenging you, and tonight a little bit of a challenge to all of us as we contemplate where we ended last week. We ended last week in verse number 20 of chapter number 5, and that verse says this, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And we wrapped up last week by talking about what that looked like, about knowing the Word of God and living it out day by day. That was the challenge. The Pharisees knew the Word, but they didn't live it out. The scribes the same way. And so that is the example that we must exceed their righteousness. And so as we talk about that today, we're going to talk about some practical examples about raising the bar and what that looks like. What does it mean when Jesus raises the bar, that we can exceed that righteousness? And I hope tonight that you will just understand that sometimes going above and beyond what the Lord asks of us is not a bad thing. How many of you know or can recognize times when people have gone above and beyond the expectations? Some of you know I'm in school right now. Wrote my first paper. Every professor is different. You just got to figure them out. I submitted my first paper. I met the expectations. Here are the expectations. I met them. And he sent me a note back. If you want to get a better score, you got to exceed the expectations. And I said, "Phooey on you. I gave you what you wanted, what you asked for, and you penalized me for that." Anyway, I'm not going to get too upset about a few points, but I understand from that little lesson, maybe God was preparing me for this, that sometimes it's best to exceed the expectations. What about when you go out to eat, you sit down? A waitress that exceeds your expectations. Do you make that good to her or him? Absolutely you do. So we want our waitresses to exceed our expectations. What about our bosses or our coworkers or our friends or the stranger that may pay for your meal in line in front of you or something like that? Have you ever had that happen before? You get up to the window and I've had that happen before. And I didn't expect it. And so I didn't just put my money back in my pocket. I paid for the person behind me. And so sometimes what it looks like when we exceed the expectations, and we're going to see that in Scripture tonight, and as believers, we are called to do that. And sometimes that's hard, and sometimes we don't like it. But when Jesus is talking about the law, he will give examples of what the law says and what is being taught by the scribes and Pharisees. And then he's gonna give us what he says, his definition of what the law is. And he is going to move that bar in an upward trajectory. And so tonight, I just simply ask this. What does a farthing mean to you? Look real quick. I'm going to go to the end of our reading. Look at verse number 26 tonight. I hope you have your Bibles. Go to verse number 26. It says this. "For I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out of thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Some of your translations may say the last penny. What does a penny mean to you? The United States isn't even making them any longer. Costs too much to make. Costs 3 cents to make a penny, so we're not going to make it anymore. But what does the last penny mean? Here's what we must understand. A farthing is the smallest coin among the Roman currency of the day. And if your translation may say penny or quadrin, it's the smallest form of currency. And so when we understand that when you owe someone, you must account for every penny. When you owe someone, you account for every penny. You must repay every penny back. And the debt is not settled until you do so. So remember, Jesus has been talking about every jot and every tittle of the law. Every little mark of every little letter is important. And here tonight, we're going to see that even the least currency, even the least amount of money that you owe is important when you pay it back. So I've titled this message, you know, the sermon of the series, The Last Penny. The Last Penny. And how important it is for us to live a life that fulfills every part of what God says. So I just want to open just real quickly in prayer tonight. Father God, as we approach your word now, God, I pray, Lord, for understanding and wisdom that comes far beyond a pastor. Lord, we pray for your understanding and your wisdom. Lord, as we dive into your word, God, thank you for being our teacher tonight. And we pray through the Holy Spirit, God, you will convict and you will point and you will show us exactly what we need to do, Lord, to take care of every part of your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it guides our lives. And as Christians, we do want to exceed the expectation. God, teach us tonight, we pray. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at verses 21 and 22 of Matthew chapter number 5. You have heard it said that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Point number one tonight, when we think about exceeding those the bar for the Lord, is this: anger cost. Anger cost. When is the last time that you dealt with unrighteous anger? When is the last time you dealt with unrighteous anger? I want to start those wheels turning, because what anger and insults cost, we understand that they have a price and that we must pay. And what we understand in reality is this: every one of us, no matter how nice we appear to be on the outside, we deal with these emotions as believers. And so we understand, as Jesus starts in verse number 21, by pointing to the teachings of the religious leaders of the day. The scribes and Pharisees, they know the law and they have taught the law. And that law simply states this: you should not kill. And if you kill someone, then you're subject to the judgment for that murder. The judgment for death, according to Numbers chapter number 35, I'm going to read it for you. Numbers chapter number 35, verse number 31 says this: moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. Here's what the law says. The law says that if you murder someone, you deserve judgment, and that judgment is the penalty of death. You will lose your life. And so here's what we understand. It's easy. The law says, don't kill. Don't kill. Many of us in this room can check that box, right? We haven't done it yet. Those teenagers, they tempted me a little bit, but we haven't done it yet. No, we haven't done it. I'm a good person because I ain't killed anybody. That's their mentality, because that's the bottom line. That's the minimum expectation of the law. Don't kill. And when we understand that and read that, we understand that in other places, an eye for an eye. We understand that, and we like to quote those verses. But tonight, we may agree that if someone kills someone, that person should pay with their life. But here is how Jesus raises the bar in his teaching. And he says this. Now remember, this is God in human form. This is God himself speaking. He says, you have been taught this, but I, being God, here's what I'm going to teach you. Look at verse number 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. I would submit to you tonight that in this room, maybe even from the guy that's talking to you, you have someone that is guilty of something equal to murder in the eyes of God. When we focus on the minimum, don't kill, Jesus raises the bar that says don't kill them before you ever pull the trigger. Don't kill them in your heart, in your action, in your words, in your thoughts. Don't kill them in your mind and in your heart. Don't do that. That's Jesus raising the bar. So you might get to heaven and say, Jesus, I didn't kill anybody. But Jesus is going to say, Did you call somebody an idiot? You're driving down the road, somebody cuts you off. What do you say? They're equal. You're guilty. And we don't like that as Christians. That's a tough rule. In order to deal with murder, we must deal with the root cause of murder. And the root cause of murder is this. The root cause is anger. Anger is the root cause of murder. But anger and murder happened far before anybody loses their life. So when we think about this verse, verse number 22, and I'm guilty of this, okay? I read verse number 22, and we want to argue. When Jesus says this, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. So we want to argue about who our brother is, and we want to argue without cause. Or we want to twist this around and say, hey, we can be angry with cause, and that's okay. Or we can be angry at somebody that's not a believer, because it says brother, and brother is a believer. Here's what I believe. I believe brother covers those people that you are connected to. So we can try to explain it away and make excuses and make reasons of why it's okay to be angry. And here's what Jesus says. It's not. It's not okay to be angry and to harbor anger in your heart. I want you to circle, if you do this in your Bible, I hope you do. But I hope you will circle two words. Just circle the word angry. And circle the words in danger, or the word danger. Anytime you get angry, you become in danger of judgment. And when we think of this unrighteous anger that happens in our lives, it spews out not only out of our mouth, But there's a source, and that's the source that Jesus is concerned about. It's the source, it is the place of the heart. So Jesus uses two examples of words that can come out of your mouth. And he uses the word raca here in verse number 22. You ever called somebody a nitwit or an empty head or maybe some other words that we may not want to say in church tonight? Have you ever called somebody an idiot? That's the equivalent here. Raka is an insult on intelligence. So even the word stupid in the wrong context can be classified here, right? But this word is an insult on intelligence. And he also goes on to say in verse number 22, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. So if you call someone a fool, speaks of a rebel against God, and you identify them as that, then the punishment mentioned here is hellfire. Now we like to skim on across this in the Bible, but what is Jesus concerned about? How do we go from murder to angry to calling somebody a fool is all guilty of the same punishment in God's eyes? It's a source of the heart. Sin-filled rages matter to God. Anger destroys relationships, it destroys ministry opportunities, and it doesn't show the heart or the intentions of the Lord. It cost us fellowship with our brother, and it cost fellowship with God when your heart is filled with anger. Anger and murder are both equal sins in God's eyes. How many of you know a sin is a sin is a sin? Doesn't matter what you call it. In God's eyes, it's all the same. So point number one, anger cost. Anger will cost. It's going to cost you something every time you get angry. It's going to cost you in relationship with person, and it can cost you in relationship with God. Anger costs. Point number two. Look at verses 23 and 24. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Point number two is this. Leave your gift. Leave your gift. Worship on the heels of talking about anger is impossible. And that's what Jesus says. How many of you have gotten into a good discussion with your husband or wife on the way to church? And for some reason, that discussion leads to a disagreement that leads to somebody getting upset. And you get to church and you go through the motions and you go home and you say, I should have just stayed home. Is anybody guilty of that? Or am I the only person that says that? That happens to us, doesn't it? It happens to us. It's amazing what a Sunday morning disagreement on the way to church is detrimental to worship. It's detrimental to worship. Our deacon chairman, the current deacon chairman, Ivan's not here tonight, so I can talk about him a little bit. But here's one of the good things he enacted. Every morning our deacons meet at 9 o'clock to pray. And here's what Ivan says. There will be nothing discussed that will cause disagreement on a Sunday morning that will impact worship. That is a rule. We will call a special meeting to handle that. Praise God. That's godly wisdom. That's godly wisdom. But I want you to know, Sunday morning disagreements impact worship in a negative way. And here's what Jesus says: when you realize that you have something against someone or someone has something against you, it's easy for me just to tell you, go make that right. You need to make that right. But if you're going through the godly actions, even doing what you should do, coming to worship or serving or bringing an offering, a gift to the altar, whatever that looks like, I incorporate that as worship. And you know there is something going on between you and someone else, you need to make that right far before you begin worship. Now, this is hard stuff. This is hard. You say, Pastor, what about this situation? If in your heart you know that you have something against someone, an unresolved conflict, you need to deal with it. Plain and simple. Forgiveness needs to happen. It may be hard. These are conversations that as a pastor are very hard. And I know the conversations are hard for you. It's easier just to push them down the road and hope they go away. It's easier for one person to sit down here and another person to sit up there than to fix what's going on. We're not called to do that. We're not called for one person to sit on the lower level and the other person sit in the balcony. Y'all go to the same church, and even though you don't get along, y'all just worship God like, no! That causes dissension in the whole church. Here's what Jesus says. If you have, now listen, we've gone from murder to anger to now a disagreement. Unforgiveness. If you have unforgiveness against with somebody, if there's something going on and you don't settle that, you go through your motions, you continue to do your duties, you continue to worship, Jesus says this, it's more important that you settle the conflict than to worship me. I would rather you forgive than worship, because forgiveness is true worship. And I'm not pointing fingers at tonight. I'm not saying we've got a bunch of problems. I don't think we do. But here's the reality. If there's something going on in your life and you know about it, the Holy Spirit right now is letting you know, I need to fix this. Romans 12:18 says this. If it be possible, this is from the New King James Version. If it be possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And here's what I want to tell you after that verse. It depends on you. As a believer, it depends on you. Because an unbeliever, it doesn't know what peaceable living means. So if all possible, it is our command to live peaceably with all men. And when we understand that command, we have a responsibility as believers not only to live peaceably, but to be people of forgiveness in such a way that we take the high road of forgiveness, and that leads to worship. How many of you know that not one of us can come in here and worship on a Sunday morning without the forgiveness from God Almighty? I'm not even worthy to crack the back door. So without the forgiveness of God, I'm not even worthy to worship. And if I can't forgive somebody else, I'm not worthy to worship either. That's the standard. That's what Jesus is trying to teach those that are listening and those that are following Him. We are called to examine ourselves before the Lord. Paul tells us in Corinthians that before we celebrate the Lord's Supper, what are we to do? Examine yourselves. You're to examine yourselves to see if there's anything going on that will pull away from the worship of the Lord. And so worship can become a ritual. And unforgiveness can become permanent if we're not careful. We must live out this word day to day. And so tonight, here's all I'm going to ask you. Is there someone that you need to settle something with before you come back to church on Sunday? No questions asked. Go do it. Go do it. Before you can truly worship, you must settle with your brother. There's one more point. Look at verses 25 and 26. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast in prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. The last pity. Point number three tonight is simply this: paid in full. Paid in full. Jesus follows up the teaching about reconciliation with, guess what? More words about reconciliation. And the challenge is this: as we use the analogy of someone who is in debt, restitution, payment, settlement needs to be made. I don't know about you, but I don't like owing anybody anything. Okay? I think that's a good place to be. I had a buddy I used to work with, and he would always bring me something. And we had a rule. We worked beside each other for 5 years. We had a rule. We don't like owing each other anything. So he would do something for me to get one ahead, and I would do two things to get one ahead, because I didn't want to owe him nothing. If we went to breakfast together, I paid one time and he had to pay the next. I just want to be one step ahead. I didn't want to owe anybody nothing. But I understand this. When you do owe someone something, settlement needs to be made quickly. While on the way. Because here's what Jesus says: at any moment in time, the lender could call for repayment. And if the repayment is not made, then you go before the judge. And if the judge will sentence you to prison, which is likely in this day, then you are in the control or in the hands of the officer. And the officer will whisk you away to prison. And once in prison in Jesus' day, guess what? The likelihood of you repaying a debt or settlement is next to none. There was no work release. You couldn't get out and get a job and pay your debt. No, you stayed in prison until you died. Unless you had some wealthy family member. So here's Jesus' advice. If you owe someone, settle the matter quickly. As quick as you can. And this ain't Dave Ramsey, okay? But it's close. You know, do that debt snowball. Pay those things off. Get that thing taken care of. I don't care what it looks like. Get it taken care of quickly. But also, more than money, if you owe somebody something, when that last farthing or when that last penny is paid, the debt is paid in full. Have you ever paid a bill and they take that big old stamp and they mark paid on it? Doesn't that feel good? It's done. It's done. When we think about what it means to be paid in full, here's the reality. The life sentence in prison was something that was required of somebody that owed a debt, and when the lender called, they wanted their money, they needed it now. If they didn't get it now, off to prison you go. Well, you say, Jeffrey, that's not fair. I'm not arguing what's fair and what's not. Here's what we're arguing. What do you owe? What do you owe? So tonight, when we think about this last couple of verses, it's not about prison. It's not about the court proceedings going before the judge and going before or being handed to the officer and going to prison. It's not about any of that. It's about settling what you owe quickly. But before all of that, it's about leaving the gift in order to go and reconcile with your brother. It's reconciling before worship. It's not being angry. It's not letting words of hatred spew out of your mouth that originate in your heart that make you guilty something equal to that of murder. Church, tonight, this is Jesus raising the bar. Showing that our relationships with others impact our relationship with Him. So I've got a couple takeaways tonight. I normally don't do this, but I've got about three takeaways. Number one, our takeaway tonight is this. First one is this. Some murder without ever pulling a trigger. With the use of anger, hate-filled insults, you are just as guilty before God as someone that pulls a trigger and kills someone. And in the court of a holy God, you will be found guilty. Now don't try to explain it away. Well, I don't really hate them. Don't water it down. I don't like them. I don't really hate them. No. Let's boil it down. We really don't like them. We really don't like them. We hate them. And what we need to be doing as we think about raising the bar is, Lord, give me the opportunity. Give me the words. Lord, give me the courage to stand before them and ask them to forgive me of my part in what I've done. Don't try to explain it away. I would rather stand before someone and ask for forgiveness than stand before a holy God and Him say, you're guilty. You're guilty of hatred of the heart. The second takeaway. Someone tonight may need to cease worship to seek forgiveness. I have one word for you. The pastor doesn't normally say this. Leave. Leave your responsibilities. Leave your duties. Leave your gift. Go forgive the person you need to. That's far more important than anything you can say or do in the place of God. Settle it before Sunday. That's what I want my church people to do. Settle it before Sunday. The last takeaway is this. Unforgiveness costs more than a penny. Because forgiveness is priceless. We are told to do it quickly because we may never have the chance to settle it again. Just 2 weeks ago, went to the funeral of someone who never made restitution with their son. Never had the chance. Wanted to, talked about it, never did it, and he passed away. Let me tell you what, I would hate the thought to live with that. Some of the hardest battles, some of the meanest words, some of the most hate-filled stories that I have are the people that are closest to me. I've hurt them the most. But I want to stand here and tell you today, forgiveness is priceless. I've hurt my mama more times as a young boy than I care to remember. But praise God, I begged for forgiveness, and she did. Tonight, is there someone that you need to forgive and that you need to settle something with because you may never, ever get the chance to again? We see God's love. We see His forgiveness through His Son, Jesus. And when we think about that last penny, that debt that we owe, here's what we all can be thankful for as believers, that Jesus paid it all. He paid your debt and my debt on an old rugged cross. And we're going to sing about that in just a second, just a time of reflection. And as we sing that old song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe, here's what I want you to think about. Number one, think about the forgiveness that you have been given by an almighty and holy God. And how do we become people that allow that forgiveness to flow through us to those that surround us? That's how the bar is raised. When God's forgiveness flows through you to those around you. Let's pray. Father God, tonight, thank you. Thank you for the challenge of that last penny. God, thank you, Lord, tonight for the challenge that you give us, Lord, just to forgive and to walk with you, Lord. To trust you to lead us as you raise the bar and the standard in the lives of the believers. God, tonight, thank you, Lord, for the personal convictions that you have put in my heart as I have put pen to paper on this message. And God, my prayer is that you will use it to challenge and change a congregation of people that will become people not only that love God, but love one another. That is the ultimate commandment. And the only way that we can love you is because you have forgiven us. And the only way that we can love others is through forgiveness of our brothers and sisters. So tonight, God, in a very humble way, God, I pray, Lord, that the things that we need to leave at the altar, maybe we'll do that right now and go and make it right. Maybe the things that are keeping us busy and taking up our time that we can't find the time to go, God, as we drop those things, you'll make the time, Lord, to have those tough conversations of forgiveness. Lord, maybe tonight we need to come before you and seek forgiveness of the things that we've said under our breath or in our minds or deep down in our hearts about people and about things that have happened, about things that we harbor, situations that have happened in our life that we just can't get past. God, tonight we pray for your forgiveness and your leading for us to forgive others. So God, thank you for your word tonight, and God, I pray, Lord, that every last penny on our end of forgiveness will be poured out. Lord, that we will take the opportunity while we have it to make things right with our brothers and sisters, with people around us, with our co-workers, with our family, because we're never promised tomorrow. God, thank you for your love, and thank you for raising the bar of expectation. It's not about not murder, not murdering someone. Lord, we know it's about something that happens far deeper in our hearts. God, protect us, cleanse us, guide us, we pray. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church. You're always welcome to visit Clifford Baptist Church for Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday evening worship at 7 p.m. Join us again next Sunday for Truth for the Journey.